This morning, however, we want to talk about three D's. And these three D's are detours, dead ends, and dry watering holes. Detours, dead ends, and dry watering holes. We're going to be looking at the book of Exodus this morning. We're going to learn something very interesting about God as we look at the way that He worked with the children of Israel. If you want to turn to Exodus chapter 13, we're going to actually be looking a little bit at chapter 13, 14, and 15, a few things within each of those chapters. The children of Israel, of course, had been enslaved in Egypt for several years. And now, after all of this time, they're finally free of their slavery. You think everything's going to be good then, don't you? Oh, wow, the slavery's over. That was the bad part. But in fact, sometimes freedom can be more challenging than slavery. When they were enslaved in Egypt, they had someone who told them what to do, made sure they did it, made sure that they had a place to live, made sure they had something to eat. They were taken care of to some degree. You know, once you're free, you're on your own. You have to take responsibility for finding something to eat yourself, something to drink yourself, and these kinds of things. And they weren't prepared to do that. So Moses is charged by God with leading the people and providing for them. And we need to think about this. There were over 600,000 men of fighting age. So if you figure all of those men were married, you've got 1.2 million. If you figure that each of those men had a couple of kids, you've got over 2 million. And many of them, of course, had more than two children. They didn't have a lot of birth control back then. So you're looking at a group of people about 2 million strong. And God charges Moses with providing for those people. Of course, Moses can't do this on his own. God is going to have to be the one who actually provides. But Moses is the leader of this group, the leader of this nation. And of course, he is the one that the people are looking to because the people can't see God. So they're looking at Moses. Moses, what are you going to do? You're going to lead us out of Egypt. Okay, good. We're excited. We're getting out of here. But we're going to see some very difficult things that occur to them on this journey. We need not ever think that following God is going to always be easy. God does not always lead us through the easiest path. And there's a good reason for that. He knows that if everything is always easy for us, we won't grow and develop. Think about what's involved in physical training. If you're going to be fit, you're going to develop muscles, you're going to develop your cardiovascular system. Guess what? It's not easy. You have to work at it. You have to suffer some. You're going to have to get out of breath. You're going to have to raise your heart rate. You're going to have to strain the muscles so that they're sore in order to grow. The same thing is true when we're following God. We're going to have to exercise some things that we're not used to exercising. And it's not always going to be easy. Let's look at Exodus chapter 13. We want to start in verse number 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. But that was the closest way. God, why didn't you take them the closest way? You know, we've always heard the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. So if you're trying to get them to Canaan's land, God, why didn't you just take them straight through that little land of the Philistines? That was the quickest, easiest way. Why didn't you go that way? Well, he answers that question in verse 18. rather in the end of verse 17. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. He knew that they were just leaving a difficult situation, and if he took them straight into a battle, they'd flee. They weren't ready for it. So he says in verse 18, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Now you think about it. He led them. He led them out into the wilderness. He led them on a detour. You know, our life is a journey. And God is supposed to be leading us. Sometimes, however, we won't follow His lead. We want to go where we want to go. But if we will follow His lead, and a lot of times the reason we don't want to follow His lead is just like the Israelites. You can imagine, they said, well, now wait a minute. I know that where we're going is over there. How come you're leading us all out here in this detour? Well, sometimes detours are necessary. If you've ever driven very much, you have had to go on a detour. You know, up here on County Road 32, for a long time, the bridge was out. You had to take a detour. You couldn't go through. If you tried to go through, you'd wind up in the ditch. Sometimes detours are necessary. But we need to understand that sometimes God uses the discipline of detours to teach us lessons. God explained His reason for not leading the Israelites the shortest way. He explains why He took some detours. It wasn't a mistake. Moses was not lost. The children of Israel were not confused about where they were supposed to be going. They were following God's lead when they took those detours and wandered into the wilderness. The shortest route is not necessarily the safest. And the easiest way may not be the best way. We need to understand that. God knew what would happen. He knew they weren't ready to fight. They weren't ready for combat. They weren't ready for a war. Later, they would be. They would be hardened and ready for battle. And later on, they would fight some battles. But not yet. They weren't ready yet. Now, certainly, we wouldn't just go and get a group of people and get them together and say, okay, now, let's go fight a war. They weren't ready. Hadn't had any training. Weren't prepared to handle the difficulties that they might face. It was too early, and they would likely become fearful and retreat and run and be scattered, and the nation of Israel would have been lost then at that point. Well, aren't you glad that God knows what we're ready to face and what we're not? Now, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, that He will not tempt us beyond what we're able to bear. But in every temptation, He provides a way of escape. He knows what we're able to bear, and He will not allow us to be tempted beyond that. He might allow us to be tempted right up to the edge, but not beyond that. We're in a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6 tells us about the spiritual armor that we need to wear. And even with all that spiritual armor on, there are still dangers that we face. That armor can't protect us from everything. Satan is out there, and he's ready. But God is training us, and He will not allow us to be tested beyond our abilities. Now, that doesn't mean that we always pass the test. Sometimes we fail the test. I think about this. I've been watching some of the boys playing video games this past week. And I knew what they were capable of on that particular game because I'd watched what they could do. But then I also saw that sometimes they still lost, even though I knew they could win because they had done it before. See, sometimes they didn't live up to their potential. They made mistakes. They pushed the wrong button or did something at the wrong time, and it caused them to lose that video game. Even though they could beat it and had beaten it a lot of times. Well, the same thing is true with us, with Satan. God knows what we are capable of. We can win certain battles. He knows that. But sometimes, because we jump at the wrong time, or because we turn the wrong way, we're pushing the wrong buttons, we're doing the wrong thing, and it causes us to fall to Satan. God knows that. You know, we live in a society that wants to get there in a hurry. But God knows that sometimes the detour is better. Sometimes it's better not to get somewhere too soon. Now, that's kind of contrary to our American mentality, because our society is, I want it, and I want it right now. I don't want to have to wait for anything. I want this job. I want that house. I want to marry this person or that person. I want to buy that car. It's always, I want this, I want that. But God knows sometimes those things aren't the best for us. Sometimes the person we want isn't the best for us. Sometimes we push ahead anyway, and we go right in because we know best, and so we're going to go, and then we wind up in a mess. And we wonder, why didn't I listen to God? Why did I force myself into this situation when I wasn't ready? How many young people have gotten involved sexually, wound up with babies that they weren't ready to take care of because they thought they could handle it? They didn't know what it was all about. When we push too fast and try to get somewhere too quickly. And we talked a few weeks ago about debt and about the bankruptcy in America. How many times do young couples go out there and they get a job and they say, okay, I got a job. Now I'm going to buy a house. I'm going to buy a car. I'm going to buy furniture for my house. And I'm going to buy this. And I'm going to buy that. And before long, they've got more bills than they can afford to pay. And they wind up filing bankruptcy and losing it all. Because they weren't ready yet. They thought they were, but they weren't. So many times we think we're ready, but we're not really ready. And God knows better. We need to follow His lead. We need to quit being so impatient. Remember that if we're Christians, God is supposed to be leading us. We're not leading ourselves. Jeremiah said, it's not in man that walks to direct his steps. We aren't smart enough to know what's around the next corner. We're running to get to that corner, to turn that corner, but we don't know what's on the other side of that corner. There could be some big bad monsters over there. Now we know real monsters don't exist, but there are a lot of monsters in the world. They're not big hairy beasts, but there are things that are out there that are just as scary. In fact, more scary a lot of times than monsters. We need to think about it. We need to understand that God shows His wisdom in the way that He leads us. We don't have to be able to see what's going to happen next month or next year. We just have to do what God tells us to do today. And then the next day when we wake up, we do what God told us to do that day. And as long as we keep following what God's told us to do, we're going to get where we need to be when we need to be there. He's going to make sure that our path is in the right direction as long as we're following Him. And if we take off on our own, and I've seen this a lot of times, I think, when you hear about people getting lost in the mountains or in the forest, a lot of times the reason they got lost was because they got off the path. And they thought they knew better. If you've ever been hiking in the mountains, you know a lot of times the path switches back and forth. And you think, well, wouldn't it be easier? If we're going all this way and all that way, why can't we just go this way? It's a good way to get yourself into trouble. A lot of people have gotten themselves lost or hurt because they got off the trail. They got off the path. They didn't go where they were supposed to go. We need to follow the detour signs and go where God is leading us. God's Word provides the path for us. All we have to do is study it and follow it. It's our guide map. So after we look at the discipline of the detour, then we want to notice the dilemma of the dead end. They had gotten out of Egypt. They had wandered seemingly aimlessly to them, probably, in this direction, out into this wilderness area. And then, lo and behold, in Exodus chapter 14, verse number 8, the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. Now you think about this. They had gone over near the Red Sea and they were camping there. And here comes Pharaoh and his army. Now remember, God didn't lead them through the land of the Philistines because he knew they weren't ready for battle yet. And here comes an army coming out to get them. When Pharaoh drew nigh, verse 10 tells us, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Isn't this what we told you when we were still there? Leave us alone and let us serve the Egyptians. Now, if you recall, they were griping and complaining about having to serve the Egyptians until Moses showed up to help free them from the Egyptians, and then all of a sudden they didn't want to be free. Isn't that just like human beings? We holler for one thing, and then when we get it, we didn't want that. No, I was fine the way it was before. Well, that's the Israelites here. But here they are. They're trapped now. They're stopped in their tracks. Nowhere left to go. They got the Red Sea on the east side. The Egyptian army coming at them from the west. On the north, there's swampland. On the south, there are mountains. Where are they going to go? They're trapped. It's a dead end. And yet, God can use even this dilemma of the dead end for a good thing. Now, you ever try to follow a map and wind up taking a dead end road? You get down to that dead end. Well, at least you can usually turn around and come back out. But in this case, they couldn't turn around and come back out because Pharaoh's army was coming in the front door. Nowhere for them to go. They panicked. They were afraid. They started screaming and hollering. And they upset at Moses when, of course, Moses was just leading them where God told him to lead them. You know, often we get upset at those who are in a position of leadership, even when they're doing what's right, because it's not what we like. Sometimes leaders have to make difficult decisions that people don't like. And they do those things, of course, certainly in the church, if they're following the Word of God, they do that according to what God's Word teaches them. They may not be popular. In fact, if they're doing all of the things that the Bible teaches, they certainly won't be the most popular, because Jesus said that the way that leads to heaven is straight and narrow, and there are only a few who find it. It's not the most popular route. Moses certainly hadn't taken the children of Israel the most popular route, and they were not happy. Here's this dead end. Notice verses 13 through 15. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Do you realize why God led them into this dead end? Remember, God led them here. This wasn't just coincidence. It wasn't just circumstance. It wasn't the devil interfering. God put them in this position on purpose. Why? God, why would you put us in this trapped, closed-in situation like this where we can't get out? Moses said, don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, sometimes when we are at our most desperate place in life is the time we finally look up. The rest of the time, we think we can handle it ourselves. But when we finally get in a position where we know there's nothing we can do, we finally look to God. God brought them to this situation that they could not escape so that they would have to depend on Him. Desperation brings dependence. A lot of people take advantage of someone who's in a desperate situation, don't they? All these check-cashing places that charge 900% interest? Why, if everybody had enough money all the time, they'd be out of business, wouldn't they? But they know there are people who are desperate. They got to pay their light bill or they got to pay their house note. And so they'll write that check and pay 900% interest to get that money right now because I got to have it. I got to keep my house. They're desperate. And so they will depend on someone else. We need to depend on God. The Israelites are being taught this message. Let's look a little more at what he says here. In verse 13, he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. You're never going to see these guys again. Never. Now that's deliverance. That's salvation. God's going to take it. He said, you're never going to see these people again. They will never bother you again after today. Verse 14, he says, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. He said, you're not even going to have to fight. Isn't that be nice? Don't even have to fight. That's right. The Lord will fight for you. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Forward? Hey, we can't go forward. There's an ocean right there. There's a sea right in front of us. How can we go forward? But God said He was going to show them His power. He was going to show them salvation. And He did that. He told Moses to lift up his rod and stretch it out over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And He did. And of course the Egyptians followed. Most of the time, when we are afraid, we shouldn't be. And most of the time, when we should be afraid, we're not. We're afraid of all the wrong things. Sometimes, fear can be a helpful thing. But most of the time, it's harmful. You know, the Bible says, fear not, or do not fear, or some don't be afraid, these kind of phrases, says it 365 times in the Bible. That's once for every day of the year. You think God wanted us to not be afraid? You bet. He didn't give us the spirit of fear and timidity, but of power. That's the spirit He gave us. We don't have to be afraid of every little thing. Hebrews 13:6 says, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. Just wait on the Lord for deliverance. Stand still. See the salvation. Then once they saw the salvation, once He knew what He told them what He was going to do, then He said, move forward. You know, some people think as soon as something happens, I gotta react. And so they run up and react and they do something even twice as stupid and get themselves in twice as bad a fix as they were already in. Because they just thought, I got to do something. When we get in a difficult situation, the first thing we need to do is stop and stand still and assess the situation and look to God and then move forward. Not just run around like a chicken with her head cut off. That's not going to accomplish anything. We've got to move forward, continuing to follow God. You know, sometimes you may be facing some rivers, mountains, oceans in your life. They seem impossible to cross, but God is a specialist in doing the things that are impossible. I saw somewhere, I don't even remember where I saw it, said something about nearly impossible things done today. Impossible things take a little longer. And that's the way it is with God. You know, the nearly impossible things, He takes care of those. And then the impossible things, it might take a little longer for Him to do those things that are impossible. Isn't that what Jesus said? With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. God does not understand the concept of the word impossible. He doesn't understand that. He doesn't believe that. And if we're going to follow Him, we can't believe that either. Now think about this as we come to our third point. The despair of a dry watering hole. They have seen just a few days earlier God part the sea so that they could walk through on dry ground. Man, they ought to have some faith now, hadn't they? They ought to believe God can do anything. But look at chapter 15, verse number 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. They didn't find any water. It's strange the way God is leading these people. I mean, first, a detour. Oh, can't go that way. We've got to take a detour. Then He leads them right into a dead end. And after getting them out of a dead end, then He turns around and leads them for 3 days with no water. Dry watering holes. That's it. That's all they can find. Dust and sand. No water. Then when they finally do find a place, they came to Marah. They couldn't drink the water because they were bitter. In other words, and that doesn't just mean they tasted bad. When it speaks of them being bitter, it's saying they were poisonous. It would kill them to drink this water. You ever traveled a long way? Maybe late at night? Stopped at a town. All the hotels were full. Had to drive on to the next town. I can remember doing that on one of the trips that we made. Oh, it was so hard. I think it was about 4 o'clock in the morning before we finally found a town with a hotel that wasn't either closed or full up. We were in an area where a lot more popular than Butler. We'd find a hotel room here in Butler if we'd come through here. But we were in a touristy area. You know, and all the hotels were full. Every town we came to, they were all full. And we just had to keep driving to the next town. And it was harder and harder to stay awake and drive. And when we finally found that place, what a relief. Have you ever gone for 3 days without water? I wouldn't want to try it. Here they were, 3 days, no water. Everywhere they looked, dry watering holes. And then when they finally did find one, you can't drink it because it's poison. Poisonous. You know, the reason behind all the problems that they're facing was not because God was testing them. It wasn't because Moses was a bad leader. It wasn't because they were being ambushed by the devil and that he was affecting these things. That's not what's going on. Let's look at verse 25. Verse 25 says, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance. And there he proved them, or he tested them. You see, 3 days earlier, he had shown them what he was capable of. Just a little bit of what he was capable of. When he led them through the Red Sea. And here, 3 days later, he brings them to this water and it's poison. And instead of turning to him and saying, Lord, we know, we trust you, we know you can provide for us, they murmured and complained. They griped and grumbled. He was testing them to see if they had developed any faith as a result of the first experiment. They failed. Instead of realizing, yes, now I see what God can do. I trust Him. He'll take care of us. And even though this water is poison, I know He'll provide a way for us to get something to drink. It's not what they said. It's not what they did. Instead, they grumbled and complained. They failed miserably. Now we thought, how could they? I mean, what, they just saw that. We're no different. People haven't changed that much in all these years from the time of Moses till now. God will answer our prayers, bring us out of a desperate situation, and 3 days later we're grumbling at Him again. We're no different than they were. The disciples were no different. Jesus on one occasion fed 5,000 with just a few loaves and fishes. Another occasion fed 4,000, few loaves and fishes. They picked up baskets full of the leftovers. They had more when they ended than when they started. And then after that, they're in a boat. And Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And what do the disciples start doing? It's because we didn't bring any bread with us. They already saw. He took care of the food thing. That's not even what he was talking about. But they automatically go back to that. He gets on them. Where's your faith? Don't you remember what I did with the 5,000? Don't you remember what I did with the 4,000? He said, I'm not talking about bread. I'm trying to warn you about their false teaching. And they just didn't get it. And we're still the same way today. We need to think. We need to trust God. He is able to deliver us. But He can only deliver us if we'll follow His lead. He won't deliver us against our will. You know, murmuring is a serious sin. Exodus 16 and verse 8, they were murmuring. It's a serious sin. God got so angry at them for their murmuring, He started destroying them because they were murmuring. Listed in 1 Corinthians 10 and verses 6 through 10 with things like idolatry and murder. What, murmur? Just grumbling a little bit? Yeah, that's right. Having a bad attitude. It's right up there at the top with all those other bad sins that we worry about. Oh, I'd never do this. I'd never kill anybody. But boy, don't we grumble a lot. Paul said, God considers it right there in the same category. 1 Corinthians 10. Why is it so serious? Because after all that God has done for us, we are doubting His ability and accusing God of neglecting us. That's serious. When we grumble and complain, we're making accusation against God. That's serious. We need to be praying instead of complaining. We need to be working instead of mumbling and murmuring. We need to be following Christ instead of picking out the weaknesses of our leaders as the children of Israel did. Moses wasn't perfect. The leaders of our congregation will never be perfect. They're human beings, just like Moses was. But we're following Christ, and He is perfect. We better not grumble and complain to Him. If you're here this morning, perhaps you've had to take some detours and didn't understand why, or maybe you faced a dead end and you weren't willing to wait on God's deliverance. Maybe you came to some dry watering holes and you didn't have the faith to trust that God was going to turn it around. Maybe you have something in your life you need to repent of. Maybe your problem is that you're not even following Christ. If you're not following Christ, there's no better time to start than today. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and God in the flesh, if you believe that, you're ready to start on the path. If you can believe that and be willing to repent of your sins and confess Him as the Christ, and be willing to be buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away, you can start following Him. If you're here and you are a Christian, but you haven't been living as you should, you may need to respond to the invitation as well. Whatever you need, we ask that you come as we stand and as we sing.